Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook Question and Answer Podcast, head of NRL Supercoach Round 7, Tim Williams on deck to take the questions of the SC Playbook subscribers. Excited for this weekend of Supercoach action because we have some pretty nice matchups for a few of our Supercoach stars. We haven't had too many, if any really, of these big 150 plus scores to the noted Supercoach guns. I know Josh Adokar last week scored his hat trick for what was about 168 odd points, but very, very lowly owned the Fox. So I think a few of these are the bigger boys. They're going to start to go large. Attacks are starting to get a little bit more fluent, a bit more cohesion among the spines in particular. A few injuries are starting to hit sides. Fatigue will be starting to wear in as we get deeper into the season. So it is around this time we do normally see a few bigger ones, and let's hope that you're on the right end of it. Guys, of course, the question is coming from the SC Playbook subscribers. If you do want to get in on the SC Playbook subscription package, and support SC Playbook for all the time and effort that goes into the website, the articles, the podcast network, all that good stuff. You can do so via the website at scplaybook.com.au. Head to our menu, subscribe, get you access to additional articles each and every week from our contributors, access to our major unlimited group prize, all sorts of different things. Our WhatsApp group, of course, where these questions come from. We've got late mail threads, team news in that, all that good stuff. You can chat with the community. Anywho, let's get stuck into it. I will be, of course, as always, touching on my trade and skipper plans for the week at the end of the episode, and I have updated them from the show earlier in the week. So let's get into it. First one from Anthony Ross. Should I bring in Tamari Martin and move him to Dylan Brown after Parramatta's bye, or just go to Brown now? Yet to save a trade and have two boosts. Cash generation is pretty good. Yeah, I'd go Tamari Martin of the two, to be honest. We look at Dylan Brown, who, let's face it, he's been underwhelming this season. He averaged 76 last year, 74 the year before. He's only averaging 60 this year. 86 on the weekend against the Cowboys. He had a really nice try assist added to his score later after update. So that really rescued his score again. He looks decent, but he also hasn't looked terrific with Mitchie Moses out. So look, Dolphins into Manly at Four Pines out of Brookie into the bye. Maybe he's a bye from round 10, but you look at that, he then goes into the Broncos and Storm. So if you get Tamari Martin, who's about to make a ton of cash, playing really good footy and has a way better draw for the Warriors, of the two, I'd be going, doing that and looking to go, Tamari to Brown round 10, potentially even round 12 when they face the Bunnies into a softer draw. So yeah, I like the Tamari play this week for anyone that has a 5-8 slot there. I've actually seen some people trading Brown to him. That I would not do. Next question from Adrian Ives. Hey, mate, I need a 2-week fullback play. Can you help me decide between Charns, Nicol Klukstad coming up into the Dragons and Titans, or Dill Edwards versus the Tigers and Cowboys whilst goal kicking with Cleary out? Look, if it's a 2-week fullback play, if you can afford Dylan Edwards, you can also, if you're not a Tom Trbojevic owner, I'd be going him first because he has a good matchup this week. He's got a few good matchups to come, in particular this week against the Titans. And then if you've got the money to get to Ponga, despite the injury niggle there, the Knights have a great draw. So that's what I'd be aiming for. But look, maybe you are a turbo owner and you can't get to Ponga. So if that's the case, and regardless, if you're looking at CNKV Edwards, I'd be going CNK for sure. Edwards, as you said, two good matchups, but Cleary could be back next week. Would imagine he probably gets the goal kicking back. And Edwards just a heck of a lot more expensive. Charns at 682K. He's a really good price, available at fullback only this year. He was seated up fullback last year. Walsh flagged it in his final word article on site that went live last night. He based 62 last week, Charns. We knew that he ran for his 340-odd metres and nearly broke a record. He had 32 runs, which sort of eluded me, that information. I probably shouldn't have because I knew how many metres he ran for, but 32 runs in his second game back from injury, 9 tackle breaks. His only major attacking stat in his 96 points was a line break. It's utterly madness. So Charns with the 25 break, even if it's a two-week play, I think Charns is your man there. Next question from Riley. Hey, mate, I have Marshall, King and Appy as my two hookers, though my CTW and 2RF are quite weak at the minute. Should I downgrade one for cash and which one? Leaning towards Appy. Look, I think they're fine to hold those two, but I understand if you need to strengthen another area, why you would look to downgrade one. My question mark is, though, mate, who are you downgrading to? I guess Jaden Brayley. There's not a lot of quality there. Brayley's getting back to bigger minutes on return from injury, but he's still got Crossland on the bench. So Brayley's one who looms as a potential buy next week. But, you know, we need to see the work rate come back, hopefully a bit of attacking upside. So I wouldn't be overly keen on going him early, but he is cheap. I think he's about 311K. Look, if you're selling Marshall, King or Appy, I think I'd sell Appy. There's very little between them. They've both got attacking upside. They're both playing big minutes. The Tigers are going to the Panthers and Broncos, two really tough games. I think the clincher for me is probably round 13, that first major bye week. Appy doesn't play it with the Tigers, whereas Marshall, King does. Look, it's almost a flip of a coin job. If it was me, I'd probably flip Appy, but don't feel like you have to. Don't feel like you have to trade them because they're both ticking along relatively well. Question from Benny Bagshaw. Loving the work. Thank you, mate. Do you reckon Talakai to the bench is tactical at the Sharks to cover forwards and centre wing, flexibility for injuries in games? Seems to be a trend this year. Not really, mate. I don't think so. Only because they've got a four forward bench. They don't need coverage in the forwards. When he's playing centre, they've already got Britton Nicara, who's obviously much better in the background. You don't want to move him, but Nicara can, you know, cover centre if someone goes down in the back line. It does provide Fitzy with flexibility, and if there's an injury in the back line, they can move Seifer out there. So I don't hate that, but I also think you need to be getting more than Seifer played 15 minutes or something last week. He's too good to be playing those sort of minutes off the bench. It stems down to me. I've never really agreed with Fitz. He's always wants to run a big four forward bench. And I just think, I know the game's quick and whatnot, but there's a lot of forwards who can play big minutes. You know, you've got someone like Cam McInnes who can play decent minutes in the middle. The two edge back rolls are both 80-minute men. I don't think they need the four forward bench. So, if it were me, and Fitzy knows a heck of a lot more about rugby league than I do, of course, but I'd be putting Seifer at centre and then I'd just look to bring a utility onto the bench. Probably not Iro, but last year they had Connor Tracy who would occasionally maybe play as 14, but there's got to be someone in the club that can play that 14 role who can cover the back line, who can get some minutes in the forwards, cover halves, whatever it might be. Kate Dykes, potentially, I don't know if he can play much. I think he can cover halves and fullback, so Troy can play wing at a pinch. So, yeah. Look, I don't think it's super tactical. If Talakai does stay there this week with all these forwards back and Iro does stay at centre, I think it's probably because Iro has won the spot for the time being. Question from Dylan. Hey, Timmy, you're a clucking good-looking rooster. Flattery will get you a long way, my friend. Any chance you'd give me your thoughts on who to bring in out of Galvin and Tamari Martin? Tamari, the higher break-even and better draw. I think Galvin cash flow could be stunted after playing Panthers and Broncos. Yeah. Look, it's going to suck missing out on Galvin, but the way it sits this week with those matchups, the Panthers in particular, the Panthers and Broncos, they'll just get at Galvin. They'll get at Galvin. They'll pressure him. Probably make a lot of tackles. I don't think Galvin scores overly well the next 2 weeks. Could be wrong. Hope I'm wrong because I'm an owner. But with that draw, I'd be going tomorrow over Galvin. Question from Danny Heath. I have Hines and Hutchison in the halves at halfback. Am I better off grabbing SJ now and turning one of Hines, more likely Hines, or SJ to Cleary once he proves himself fit and healthy? Or keep Hutcho and wait for Cleary and use the other trade to take Burbo to Garrick, Lomax, Marju, etc.? Oh, gee, that's a tough question, mate. My gut feel says yes, because SJ has a couple of great fixtures to come. Dragons into Titans. He could score big tons in those games. He really could. I love those for him. 750K, break even 23. So there's just the uncertainty around, obviously, Cleary. Like, he might be back next week, but he might be back in 2 weeks. He might be back in 3 weeks. We don't know. In which case, you could have had someone like SJ there firing. He just looks sensational. Three-round average of 94. And then because there is money coming in for SJ, Nico starting to score well as well again. So, yeah, like, Cleary come back from a hamstring injury as well that has been delayed. So there's going to be a little bit of risk there when he does come back from injury. So I'd be willing to nearly bite the bullet, do it, and then, yeah, work out who you want to move to Cleary after that. And look, if Cleary comes out and he gets an aim next week, he plays, he scores 150, bugger. But it's a tough decision to make. Question from Maddie. As an Arthurs or former, former owner yourself, who is the better sell this week, Arthurs or Bostock? Bostock peaked, but Arthurs disappointing. I would sell Bostock. Bostock, what's he at now? Done a great job. He's earned us 200K, break even of 54 though. Arthurs, bloody hit and miss, isn't he? Some weeks he has a great work rate. Some weeks it sort of goes quiet. Like, he scored 4 tries in 6 games for 48-point average. A few of those have been off kicks, so not necessarily the line rate to go with it. I just think he's gotten through such a tough run of games. The big thing, and I keep saying it, but it's Reece Walsh is back now. He's left-right passing, and all the work he does on that edge is so good. Goes into the Raiders now at Suncorp, into the Tigers, into the Roosters at Suncorp, Eels, Manly at Suncorp, Titans at Suncorp. I really do think there's some good scores incoming for Jesse Arthurs. He's 81 against Melbourne the other week. He dropped it over the line and with no one on him. That would have been over 100. I think he had his toe on the line and was denied a try from memory against the Dolphins last weekend. I could be wrong, but pretty sure that happened, which would have been, again, 50-60. He's also cheaper than Bostock, so you can cash in Bostock for more. His break-even's lower. Yeah, mate, I'd 100% be holding Arthurs of those two. Question from Matty O. Hey, legend, team value subpar, 12.5 million. Is it worth using a fourth boost to go Burbo to Iro, or do I get Iro and forego Gus for Hammer, saving a boost? Yeah, look. My team value is 13.1 million. I'm very happy with that, but 12.5 it's pretty low. So the fourth boost hurts early, but it's not the end of the world. Provided Iro does in fact play, because if he doesn't, it'll be a killer. But if you're confident that he's going to play the game, then I'd be happy to boost, because I do think you need to chase a bit more cash, mate. You're running a little bit low there. Squad value. The exact number, it's not all the be all and end all, but yeah, you're quite low. So yeah, I'd be potentially willing to use that fourth boost for a cash generation play. And no, I don't think I'd be foregoing Angus Crichton. He's going to make cash and could be a potential keeper. So you know, even getting like Iro in, he's going to come in. He's also going to go out at some point. Gus, you know, he could make 250K and you could have him for the season. So potentially optimistic thinking, but he looks the goods. Question from Jake Ellsworthy. Thoughts on the Papenhuyzen to Tarojevic trade, please. Some absolute doozies coming this week. A lot of tough decisions for people to make. I'm glad I've avoided any too tough ones. Fullback, I started the year with Ponga and Turbo, and I couldn't be happier about it. I haven't used any trades here. They're both scoring well. I'm just stoked with it. Like Pappy to Turbo, for this week's play, it absolutely looks good. Like a Thursday night game against the Roosters for the Storm looks tough. Turbo against the Titans could go huge. But I then look at coming up after that, the Storm play the Rabbitohs, then they play the Titans. Two really good fixtures there. Even the Sharks at Amy Park after that. Tougher, but not the end of the world. Like Pappy's scoring pretty well. You take out week one against Penrith where he scored 30 points. I think it was a wet game. It was 8-0 in that. He's gone 132, 78, 50, 75. Oh, really difficult. I'd be tempted to hold Pappy for the next 3 weeks and just see how that goes. But yeah, God, it's going to be hard not owning Turbo this week. Question from Luke Bomber. Hey, mate, are we all sleeping on Matty Burton with a negative 14 break-even and a very nice run to come? I have Brooks, so it seems like a luxury trade. Thoughts? I think if you're a Matty Burton owner with a three-round average of 98, bolstered obviously by that 147 against the Roosters, I think you are very happy. Not many owners out there, but look at, I don't know if the Knights is a tough game or not these days. They're very hit or miss. But look, he's 693K already. They've got the bye next week, so not for me. Tigers after that's great, but then they have the Panthers out in Penrith, the Raiders at Magic Round, defensively pretty solid this year at the moment. So, yeah, look, not for me. I'm not – the Doggies have been great. They're very resilient, but I wouldn't be that sort of keen on him. He's that dual 5'8 halfback, and I certainly would not be trading Luke Brooks to him, who is also dual half 5'8 and plays the Titans. Eels, Raiders, Dolphins. It's a pretty good run of games to come. So, no, I wouldn't be making that trade. Guys, touch on it each week, but we love a punt here at SC Playbook. However, it can cause a lot of stress and a lot of pain for people out there, not just financial pain, but a bit of mental pain as well, and put some people through some rough times. So I think one of the biggest things about people on the punt that are doing a little bit tough is it's not waiting till you've gone through way too much cash that you can't afford and, you know, you wake up on the Monday morning, you've gone through a mozza, your bank account's looking grim. It's trying to get ahead of that and ahead of the curve. And I know that's a damn hard thing to do and, like, what's the right time? But I think it's just looking at those little signs like, you know, there's 8 games of footy on the weekend. If you've told yourself that, all right, I'll put a $5 or a $10 multi on each game each week, but, you know, you're 2 rounds into the weekend and you put one on, a 10-bucker, and then you put another little $5 one on and then you go, oh, geez, this guy and this guy give me these odds, and all of a sudden you've got 3 on one game. That's where you sit there and go, all right, I'm going above my budget, what I can't afford, and maybe it's the first signs of having a punting problem. So absolutely nothing wrong with that, guys, but it is something that you want to beat before it does become too problematic. So if you are in that boat, you think you are getting out of control a little bit with your punting, reach out to Gareth White and his team at CKAL. To do that, you can email him at gareth.w@ccal.org.au. That is CKAL spelled C-E-C-A-L. Give them a buzz on 02-9559-4013. Or the easiest way, I think, guys, if you're on Instagram, flick him and his team a message at CKAL Gambling. It's completely free, completely confidential. So reach out. It's a step that I don't think you'd be regretting if you do. Now, there's a lot of questions around like Greggy Marju, Dallin, Lomax, Val, etc. I'll get to those shortly because that's a big one that I've got for my trades this week. One from Sammy Shepherd. There's some Sammys in this chat. Loving the work this year from you and the whole team. Appreciate that, mate. Thank you. I already have Iro and Gus in my team, so is it worth taking a punt on going Bostock to the Fox for the 130 to 150K price rise over the next few weeks as a stepladder to Fifita, Marju, Garrick, etc.? Won't need to play him and think he's a slightly better option than Zeri. Bit of a funny one, Fox, because he's never been Supercoach relevant, and it's very easy in Supercoach to be clouded by history. and how players have performed. And Fox is like that for me, where I just go, he's never been a Supercoach relevant player. He can score his hat tricks and have these big one-off scores, but the 160 can just as easily be backed up by 20. Sometimes you've just got to look at the out-and-out numbers. And with 162 in his three-round rolling average, clash against the Knights, then the bye, then the Tigers, on a red-hot doggy's left edge, they look so good. Kikau is terrorising people. Look, maybe he's a play. Like, I won't be buying him. He's 526K. I just don't want to be – if I'm paying that money for someone, I want to be getting someone that I am confident is like a Supercoach scoring gun, whereas Fox, I'm not like that with him. But like a projected score of 57 nets him $81,000, and that is – what did he score the week before? 39. And that was in 40 minutes. So that drops out of his rolling average. So he'll then have a 162, whatever he scored this week. So, look, over the next few weeks, or like after they play the Tigers post-bye, could be a pretty easy, you know, 150-odd K coming in. I absolutely don't think Josh Adakar is a keeper, but as I said, the left-edge dogs are humming. So who knows? Even if he's not a keeper, maybe there are some better scores to come and less risk of going lower. Yeah, like round one, he scored 4 points in 40 minutes, but that was into Parramatta, and I believe that game, he got hurt early on and sort of fought out the first half, so I'd put a line through that one. Look, not for me, the Fox, but I can certainly see why you'd be keen to go there. Question from GK. You luscious Adonis of a man, Tim. Oh, bloody hell. Love that. Is there a yardstick of team value you want to achieve early in the season? I know in BBL there is, so wondering if there's similar thinking in the NRL. Yeah, I've brought this one up because I'd love to hear from some real diehard data people out there. You know, I go very much this not going to be overly convincing to listen to, but like on vibe on cash generation. Like I know that I've got all essentially all the good cheapies and I've got cash generating across my squad. So I know that my cash gen is good. I don't necessarily look directly at that squad value mark every week to see where that's at. But I'm sure there's correlation somewhere in recent years between squad values and where it needs to be by what point in time. You're getting into the very nitty gritty statistics of and data of Supercoach. But yeah, look, I'd be lying if I said I knew exactly what squad value I wanted to be at by what point of time. I'm very happy with my 13.1 million at this stage of the season. And I'm starting to turn to that focus of, you know, points in my trades rather than that pure cash generation. But yeah, reach out if so. And I'll even, you know, I'll have a chat to Ads DeRussi about it. He's a very, very intelligent man, old Adsy, and he's an actuary by trade. So I'll get his thoughts on it and see if he works towards a certain value or what his thoughts are. But look, it is a great question and one that we'll do a bit more digging into because the question does come up a lot and it's got me thinking. There is a phenomenal amount of questions around Tamari Martin. If you've got a 5-8 slot, buy him. He's a great buy with a great draw. I have Brown and Galvin there, so I don't want to trade either of them, so I won't be getting him.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a good one, and not just the compliment. Hey, mate, love the work. Cooma's greatest export since Brett White. Thank you. Cop that, Sam, and cop that Tora Bright. With all the good CT dubs at the moment, is there any love for Brian Toto, whose base consistency is sane, four scores in the 40s without a try, and the one game he did score for was 120. Surely due for more tries, only at 4%, even if he's not a buy soon, surely he's a must for a final team. I think I had Toto potentially all last year, and I did, in looking for hammer replacements, I did look at him. The no tries is a concern. Just because Cleary got injured. I think he's missed two games maybe. And Toto didn't score in that. He's also, I think, changed edges at points this season. I hate the left edge winger because look what Taylor May like. He just goes out. He doesn't create a lot of space for his outside backs. And then he'll go out and he'll step off his left, just keeps going back in field. Not a knock on Lui as a player, just super coach wise, the left centre, left winger don't do well. And then if Toto's on the right wing, there's no Cleary there, which I'd probably prefer the right winger at the moment and not outside Lui. But I think I just want to see Cleary come back, the impact it has, because as you said, four scores under 50. Did score a double in his 124 against the Broncos, basing 37 phenomenal. I think Toto's one that I'll be looking to get in post-origin period. Question from David. You absolute stud, Tim. I wish you were the father of my kids. Fair play to you, mate. Poor kids. Anyway, thoughts on Brian Kelly as a pod goal-kicking potentially? Oh, we have this conversation with Brian Kelly every year, don't we? Like his last five season averages, he's averaging 57 this year, 64 last year, 47, 59, 56. And he always bases well too. And you sort of sit there what in recent years has been a good attacking outfit at the Titans. Why he doesn't score more? Because he has, like, basing 32 this year. You know, he busts some tackles. He can offload. He can find some attack. It just never works out with him. And I don't really know why. Like, can find a bit of an injury from time to time. The goal kicking does make him fascinating, though, doesn't it? The Titans have a tough draw. Manly this week, into the Warriors, into the Storm. They don't play round 13. If he's goal kicking, yeah, good pod play. Last 2 weeks, 81 and 83. I just never, as I said, it never seems to work out. I reckon get through to round 13. If they lock in this spine, he'll be fine. But the concern is by next week, they could so easily shift Phil Sammy back to centre, Brimson to fullback, and get Tanner Boyd back in this team. And then all of a sudden, Tanner's kicking, Kelly becomes less appealing again. So, look, I just wait and watch, but I do see that the pod potential. Question from Braden. Pick two to play out of Lussick, Henry, Sam Hughes, Hutcho, Galvin, Strange, Schiller, and Bostock. Oof. Lot of, the obvious ones would normally be, say, Galvin and Strange for sure, but the just tough, tough matchups for them in Brisbane and the Panthers. So if it were me, I'd probably play Joey Lussick as an 80-minute hooker. Do be aware, though, the game's in Darwin, so... when do they play the Eels this week? They are on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Because it's in Darwin and I'm going to assume it's going to be stinking hot and humid, just make sure Brendan Hands doesn't come onto the bench because they might be sitting there going, can Lussick get through 80 minutes in that those conditions? If Hands comes in, I wouldn't want to play Lussick. Definitely not. But if it stays the same and he's the sole hooker in the team, then yep, I'd go Lussick. And then I'd probably play Ethan Strange. Is it a toughish matchup? Well, it's a tough matchup against the Broncos, but still missing Payne Haas, Piakura, Adam Reynolds. They've got a lot out. So Payne Haas being the big one. Raiders are quite a dominant forward pack, probably the stronger forward pack, or certainly the stronger forward pack in this matchup with Haas out. So yeah, I'd play Ethan Strange. Here's a question that can take things into my trade because Bo has said, hey, mate, I'm running Curran and May in my front row four with Hughes and Farmer Silly on the bench. what to do with when the Dogs have the bye next week with no dual second rower to swap Curran. Curran, take the AE, question mark. So I am somewhat in this situation in that I have the exact same front row. And initially on the Tuesday Night podcast, I was trading out Josh Kerr, who's currently in my second row forward position. You know, just such fluctuating minutes under Wayne Bennett. I don't really know what's going on, but when he plays big minutes, he scores so well. Like, scored 50 points in 37 minutes 2 weeks ago, 63 in 26 minutes 3 weeks ago. That was with a try. And then on the weekend, played only 21 minutes for 19 points. So I want to sell him because he's got a break even of 67, but I will also be short a front rower next week and would need to take the AE. So my first trade was going to be Kerr. It's now going to be Bostock. I'm going to send Benny Chaboyevich down to CT Dub. I'll probably sell Benny next week, but injured, so not going to change much there. I'll be selling Jack Bostock, who I was going to hold for one more week, which no harm in doing that. But look, someone that I was probably going to be getting rid of anyway. Keeps scoring tries, thankfully, but when they dry up, so will the scoring. So going to get rid of Bostock. We'll hold Kerr, which will then allow me next week when these three Doggies front rows are on the bye, to swap Kerr up to front row forward and partner him with Terrell May. So at least I've got a front row forward and don't need to AE there next week. In your situation, Bowie, sorry, mate, but like, I'd need to see a full team to work out a real plan around that for you. But, you know, whether you – like Sammy Hughes, 301K, break even of negative 13, and when that 72 from 2 weeks ago drops out, to your barring a big score this week, that break even's going to skyrocket, but go quite high. So a projected score of 34 will get him 40K this week. That'll get him to sort of 340, 350K. It's a 100K rise for the season. Maybe if he doesn't go great this week, you look to go Hughes towards a front rower to mean you don't have to take the AE next week. As for the rest of my trades, the other one has held strong, and that is getting in. What are we doing? So it's going Angus Crichton in for Bostock. And then my other trade, I'm honestly still torn on. I think I know what I'm going to do, but it is getting rid of Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, who is injured, for big, bustling Greg Marju. I just want him on the left wing. Barry Toohey on Twitter, Newcastle journalist, a very reputable, believes he'll be on the left wing, but hardly confirmed at this stage. Came back from injury on the right. I just want him on the left so much more than the right. He can still score well on the right, but it's not as good as that left edge for the Knights. So, look, if you can get a bit of confirmation, which hopefully we can by Tuesday, by Sunday, should I say, I'll be getting Big Greg in. Dallin Watenis Lesniak. I want him as well. The Knights have a great draw, so Marju appeals. But Dallin, Dragons into the Titans, into the Knights, it is a good draw. Marju plays round 13 is a big factor in these two. And I'm getting in two CT-Dub guns, both who I'll want at some stage, but Dallin doesn't play 13, so that's a big factor in making this decision. So, look, still not gone off Dallin, but I'm thinking Greggy Marju for this week. In terms of my sit v starts, I'll be sitting guys like James Schiller won't be playing, Galvin won't be playing, Kerr won't be playing for me, Hughes, Levi, any of these blokes. I am playing as my fourth CT Dub or third and fourth, Ethan Strange and Taylan May, provided May does indeed take the field against the Tigers. So, yeah, Strange and Taylan. The rest of it pretty well picks itself. Obviously playing Lane, Smithies, Crichton, Pierce Paul. Only the two front rowers. So, yeah, all good there. My captain for the week, Sir Thomas Trebojevich, I reckon he, touch wood, goes huge in this one against the Titans. Big scoring coming. VC will be Dylan Brown up in Darwin against the Dolphins. Guys, that is it for the SC Playbook question and answer podcast for NRL Supercoach Round 7. Have an absolute ripper of a weekend and good luck to your Supercoach sides. Cheers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.